Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. It's the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you're committed to growing your company, you can go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com and get all of my best stuff for owners who want more out of their cleaning companies and more out of their life. Today, we are conversating with Todd Vaccalero from West Coast Commercial Cleaning. West Coast Commercial has been a family-run business serving the Danville area, which I hear is around San Francisco, for the last decade. If you want to reach out to Todd and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.westcoastclean.com. Todd, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
I am, if I felt any better, man, I'd have to be twins. I'm in Phoenix. It's like 72 degrees out, not a cloud in sight. Life is good.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
So tell me a little bit about you. How'd you get into the cleaning business? How'd you get into San Francisco? What's shaking in the world of Todd?
Sure. Let's see. So I spent probably the first 15 years of my professional career working for corporate America. I was a high-tech sales rep. And come to realize that I really hated the "what have you done for me lately" mindset of corporate America. So my wife and I were kind of talking in length one night. I said, I really need to get out of corporate America. I want to be my own business person. So we started doing a little bit of research about what kind of businesses we could run, right? I wanted to open up a restaurant. She said, you're nuts.
Right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, your wife was right. Restaurants are awful. So without knowing anything else, you made the right choice.
She is right more often than not. That's why I love her.
Good man.
I looked into, you know, what's kind of a low-cost entry to start up a business, a self-generating business, and commercial cleaning kind of popped up. And one thing that I remember my parents saying when I was getting out of high school is they said, you know, find something that you love to do or you're good at, and the money will follow. So I went to college and then joined corporate America. And as I was looking for a way to start my own business, that kind of came back to me. So I was always kind of that, you know, it's kind of a cliche in the cleaning business, right? But I was that clean kid that always cleaned things. And was always tidying up. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start a commercial cleaning business. And my very first account was a fraternity brother of mine in his chiropractic office.
Nice.
And it just kind of expanded from there.
That's so
that
cool,
was
man.
10 years, that was 10 years ago last month.
Well, A, happy anniversary, or I'm sorry, depending on how you feel about the business. But either way, it's better than the restaurant business, I promise you.
Yeah.
Definitely. B, so how many employees do you guys have now? What have you kind of accomplished over the last 10 years?
So we've accomplished growing from nothing. I didn't buy a franchise. I didn't take over any accounts. I grew it from scratch.
Nice.
And we currently today have roughly about 17 employees
Cool. That
work for us. And we serve, you know, probably 250,000 to 500,000 square feet a night of service that we clean.
Fantastic. And it's all commercial?
It is all commercial. We also do have a division that does apartment move-ins and move-outs and also some post-construction cleanup.
Got it.
But
beautiful.
Our main bread and butter is definitely the nighttime janitorial.
Okay, and do you do floors and carpets for them or just janitorial services?
No, we also do floors and carpets. Okay. We do maintenance for them as well.
Beautiful. That sounds like a pretty solid outcome for just, I hate to say just 10 years because, like, dude, it felt like forever for me, but still, from my perspective, sounds pretty good, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, well, that said, I would love to be a support and help push that wagon up the hill that you're going, brother. What can I help you with today to help grow your business and take it to where you want to be?
No, that's a great question. You know, I think the biggest milestone that I'm having trouble getting over is for the last 10 years, I have kind of been the face of West Coast Commercial Cleaning, from checking buildings, buying supplies, dropping off supplies, answering the telephones, I'd love to know how I might be able to either promote within or hire from the outside world somebody to come in and take that responsibility away from me, which would then allow me to focus on more revenue generating aspects of the business, finding new accounts, building new relationships. I struggle with that because I get stuck with buying supplies, or I get stuck with doing, you know, building checks in the morning to make sure that the jobs look good. And by the end of the day, I'm wiped out. I don't have the energy to go look for new accounts. And I find myself kind of like a hamster in a wheel, kind of chasing my own tail, looking for new business.
Man, that is such a good question. And I don't think we've kind of hit tangentially on a couple of things that you mentioned there, but I'm pretty positive that specific question of, hey, how do I move out of that day-to-day operations to doing the real profitable stuff, or the stuff I enjoy, or the owner stuff, like casting the vision and doing things that really you're the only guy to do. So I'm excited. Let's dive in. First of all, I do want to touch real quick on a concept I think I've covered before in the podcast, but it's a huge foundational thing we need to get moving forward. A lot of what I help my customers do, both on air and off, is move from $10 an hour work to $100 an hour work. And that's key. If you want to make $100,000 a year and you only want to work 40 hours a week, that's about $50 an hour. If you want to make $200,000 a year and you only want to work 40 hours a week, that's about $100 an hour. What most cleaners do is they do $10 an hour tasks, but they're like, well, I'll just work 100 hours a week and then I can make, you know, $60,000 or some, I don't say paltry, but for 100 hours a week, some not great salary. So the first thing you need to do is, and you kind of touched on it, so you've got it, I just want to encourage you that you're on the right track, is identify $10 an hour work versus $20 an hour work versus $50 an hour work versus $100,000 an hour work. So obviously cleaning is $10 an hour work. And it doesn't sound like that's the stage of business that you're in, that you're pretty much extricated from that, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the problem is a lot of people move from $10 an hour to $20 an hour work, which helps, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. $20 an hour work is stuff like you talked about, kind of managerial duties that you could pay a guy $40,000 a year or $20 an hour to do. Checking on accounts, maybe training employees, paying some bills, if a customer has a problem talking to them. So that's still better than $10 an hour work, but it's not the $100 an hour work that's going to get you to your financial goals and probably your personal goals in terms of how you'd like to spend your day. So step one is identify, what am I doing in a 40-hour week? And you kind of, again, alluded to this, that you're like, I spend 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day doing $10 or $20 an hour work. So at night with my leftover time and energy, I try to do the $100 an hour work, but I'm whipped. I don't have it in me. Am I putting words in your mouth, or is that a fair restatement?
No, very fair.
Okay, cool. So generally, and you probably know this, I'm just going to reiterate for Cleaning Nation, $100 an hour work is things like, just like you mentioned, getting accounts. Really that usually $100 hour work is some sort of sales or marketing activity. And then if you want to kick it up to $1,000 an hour work, that's more casting your vision, creating a culture, putting systems in place that will continue making, because that can be infinite, right? You create a system today that saves you $100 a month or $200 a month or X amount a month. That will keep giving basically for eternity. And as you grow, we'll save or make more money. So those are kind of the $1,000 tasks, is creating systems and casting vision, creating culture, things that the owner should be doing. We on the same page so far?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So the second part is, let's talk about, and I always start just so you know, 30,000 foot view, and then we'll drop down to 200 foot view. So I promise we'll get to some of the tactical stuff. But if we don't lay the foundation, the tactical stuff, you won't have enough information to do the tactical stuff. So that's the first piece, is you've got to identify whether you're doing $10 an hour work, $100 an hour work, $1,000 an hour work, and kind of schedule it out. So if you are going to do, because to go from 40 or 50 hours a week of $10 an hour work to 0 hours a week, I don't want to say it's not possible, but it's not feasible, certainly. So you might want to kind of put that in a box. Like, I'm going to allow myself 15 hours a week of that sort of stuff, right? Kind of going cold turkey is not healthy for the company, can be really difficult. So you got to identify how many hours you're working on $10 and $20 an hour work, and then, you know, kind of put a box, say, I'm going to do that 10 hours a week. I'm going to do it 8 to 5, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and 2 to 3, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or whatever the case may be. That's the first step. Second step is identify the $100, $1,000 hour work that you want to do, and put that in a box and don't leave it your leftover box. Leave it in your "this is important" box, right? So you don't want that, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Fridays, like That's what, if I have time, you know, you're going to drop dead. That's what you should put scheduling 7 p.m. is drop dead. You know, that's not your high level stuff. So that's the second part. The third part is you're going to need, so now we'll get a little more tactical. The things that you're going to need in place before you can hire that guy or that gal are twofold: systems and culture. One's kind of really a hard skill and one's a very soft skill, but you need them both or you're not going to be able to make this transition effectively or without gray hair and pain. We'll talk systems first. Systems are either you do the work or you hire really good people to do the work, which is extremely hard with the kind of margins that we get in janitorial, or you create extraordinary systems that average people can excel in to do the work. And that's what I would coach you and I coach all of my clients to do, is you create the systems to do the work that make the decisions. So it's hard, and that's $1,000 an hour work, because you're really thinking through, in this scenario with this setup, knowing what I know and what I believe and what's important to me and what the goals of the company are and what our strengths are, knowing everything I know as an owner, I'm going to kind of make all these decisions of how this situation or that situation should be handled in advance. So instead of a $12 an hour employee trying to deal with a customer calling and screaming at them, probably not going to be the best decision. You've got a system for that that you've already thought through and put into place. So you think it through once, which is very hard work, because you can't just say, oh, tell the guy to take a hike or go fix it at whatever the cost, because it's a one-time thing. You've got to get it right, because this is going to be your system of how you handle that situation forever. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So step one, identify what $10, $20 hour, $100 hour work you're going to do. Step two, put them in boxes. So you've got, you know, maybe a third at $10 an hour, maybe a third at $100 an hour. So I should say 10 at, you know, a third at administrative, putting out fires type stuff, a third at sales and marketing, and then a third at mission, vision, values. Whatever your percentages should be, you know, identify them and do them on purpose, as opposed to at the end of the week going, how did I spend another 60 hours fooling around with stupid stuff and I spent 0 hours on stuff that's important? And the third step is start creating the systems that'll allow you the freedom to do that and start moving those. You know, once you've got those systems in place, you might be able to move to 0 to 10% of your time doing the $10 and $20 an hour work, and then half of your time selling and marketing if you love that, half of your time casting vision. But you need systems to be able to do that. So that's the next step. The final step, and this is getting kind of the closest to, how do I act? Fine, I'm going to do all that, but how do I actually hire this human being to do the stuff that I need? Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So again, the systems are going to help a tremendous amount, right? If you just tell, you hire someone and say, hey, come in and make decisions exactly the way I would make them, with no documentation or systems, that you're setting him up to fail for sure. And of course, that's setting your company up to fail. So the way you're going to do that is you got to get your culture and your core values right. And if you, the mixture of systems, which is the hard skill of if this, then that, when this happens, do that. That's going to cover 80% of the scenarios, but it's not going to get 100%, because business change, customers do crazy stuff, employees do crazy stuff. You've been doing this 10 years and probably every week or month, something happens. You're like, well, never thought I'd see that happen. Maybe it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
So that's where the culture comes in, right? If you've got, like for me and my companies, it's been have fun, make money, be real, and help out. So I always empowered my employees to make any decision they ever need to do. They just had to tell me how that didn't violate, and as a matter of fact, kind of held up our core values. And if they can say, well, that customer's screaming at me and call me names, and I told them, sir, we're done, don't darken our doorstep again, get out. And that's just an entry-level employee. You might be like, oh my God, you can't have employees firing customers. Well, if they said, well, he wasn't having fun, I can assure you that, Mike, and I wasn't having fun, so he violated that core value. I was trying to help out and he was still screaming at me, so he didn't allow me to help that core value for us, Mike. We weren't making any money because the dude was telling me how I wasn't going to pay, so that wasn't helping. And he yells all the time and we never get to do our work. And what did I miss? Help out, have fun, make money. Oh, be real. And that's the last one. And I was totally real with the guy and saying, dude, we don't need this in our life. I'm not going to fire that guy or gal because he showed how he thought through the core value. So that's kind of going to be the catch-all, the cover-all, to help those people make the decision. And the higher up the chain they go, the more they need to be perfectly aligned with your core values. One of the best stories I've got is, you'll notice this, and I love sharing this because a lot of, when I share with business owners, especially in person, they get this aha moment. I love being a part of that. So here you go, but get ready, Todd. Lot of times what will happen is employees look at us when they do one thing and they think we're going to scream and go nuts on them. And we're like, it's fine, you were learning, don't worry about it. And they're like, what? And then they'll do something else that seems like no big deal, and we freak out. And the employees are always like, what? I don't understand. I can never catch you, right? The core values are the answer to that, right? If they violate a core value, even if they think it's not that big of a deal, but it violates one of your core values, you're going to freak out and they don't understand why. Or if they did something that didn't really violate a core value, they just thought was going to be a big deal, you're going to be okay with them. So the trick is to kind of give them the answers to that question up front and say, this is what's important to me. These are the things that if you violate, I'm going to freak out on you. And if you do something wrong, but you didn't really violate the core values, we're going to be okay. The trick to that is you'll start attracting people that share those same beliefs as you do. And they'll share those same beliefs with your customers, with your prospects, with your vendors, with the community. And you don't have to train it into them. You just fuel that fire. So instead of trying to get someone to believe that, hey, we don't lie, cheat, and steal, you hire a thief and try and get them to believe that, you're never gonna have any chance. But if you hire someone that's like, oh my gosh, not lying, you know, integrity is number one in my thing, it's so easy to stoke his fire. Does that make sense? If you've got the people that share core values, life's so much easier.
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes to hiring that, go ahead, what's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just said I completely agree with that. And I definitely see it.
Okay, cool. So at a $10 an hour employee or your entry-level cleaner, that's important, right? If they're going to lie, cheat, or steal, or violate your core values, that's a problem. But you put that as the person, the human being that's going to run your company and be the face of your company, that guy or gal better just eat, sleep, breathe, and drink your core values. So that is huge, 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 huge. You've got it. So A, you've got to be clear with what they are internally. B, you've got to be able to communicate those just like I did. Have fun, be real, help out, make money. You've got to just have them like that rote. You can ask employees that worked with me 10 years ago what my core values were, and they'd be able to say them just like that. Then you're able to kind of, once you've got that plus the systems in place, now you've positioned yourself to be able to transition out and hire somebody that's going to have a chance for success. Any questions so far?
No, sounds good.
Okay, cool. Two more things, and then we're going to move on to lightning round, and you're going to get an opportunity to give back to Cleaning Nation. First, if you're anything like me or most of the entrepreneurs I work with, we have the tendency to abdicate authority as opposed to delegate. So we don't want to do this thing, whatever. Let's just call it the accounting. We don't want to do it. We hate it. It's a pain in the ass to hire somebody. So we kind of go back and forth for months of, gosh, I got to get somebody, but I don't have any time. So I keep doing it. And then we finally get some poor soul that's agreed to do the accounting. And instead of taking a month or two to really walk through and get them locked and loaded, we go, here's the password to QuickBooks. Here's what we need to do. Call me if anything is wrong. And you run like hell to get out of there and never talk to that guy again. That's right. Abdicating. And that's obviously setting us up for a failure. Delegating is giving them little or her little bits of pieces of, okay, first we're going to start with whatever, but you kind of in a very intentional, thoughtful systematized process, you're going to turn that over to that human in a period of a month. So a lot of times we get 90% of the way through. We finally hired someone that's capable and we just want to get out of there. We don't finish to the finish line and spend an extra 2 or 3 weeks getting them up to speed. We just leave and that gives them failure. When you've got someone that you're going to kind of give the entire company to, that might be a 3 to 6 month process to really set them up. And that's going to be mind numbing. You're like, oh, I can leave. He knows what he's doing. I just went out of here. But then you're going to be back. Whereas if you take how long it takes to really turn it over to him bit by bit, piece by piece, make sure he understands or she understands completely before you move on, that's going to free you for years or forever. So that's the next part, is make sure you're delegating, not just throwing a burning coals in his lap and then getting the hell out of there. which I've done. If you're like, wow, this guy sounds like he knows about that. I do, because I've been that guy. I've done that. I've screwed that up, so I know how it feels. Last thing, and I have run couple companies for years at a time where I was out of the company for, you know, I'd call for the daily huddle, which was like a 9-minute meeting. And that's it. That was my entire commitment to the company. I was able to run companies like that for years at a time. And the ways you do that are KPIs, key performance indicators. You've got to know what your absolute, and there should only be 2 or 3, right? So it's not just like, well, how much, you know, a lot of businesses are, well, how much money came in the door? How many new accounts did we sell? And then, you know, how much is in the bank account? You know, those are okay, but you need a little more strategic numbers in terms of, you know, it depends business to business. But for the cleaning company, a lot of times it's obviously profit. It's obviously, you know, how much net loss or gain did we get in sales, right? If we lost $2,000 in accounts and started $4,000 in accounts, well, that's a $2,000 gain. You know, things like how many, you know, so you might just have 3 or 4 or 5 key performance indicators where, you know, if I just have those and those are all within spec, I'm good. I don't need to deal with the company at all. So let's just say it's, you know, customer complaints, gross sales, profit, and cost of goods sold. you know, or gross margin, you know, whatever that case may be. If they come in and you know, A, what those are every month, and B, what they should be, and you should have red, yellow, green. Green is like, hey, if our gross margin is anything over 37%, I don't have to worry about it. But if it's between 33 and 37%, now we're yellow. I don't have to worry about it, but I gotta at least have an eye on it. And if it's 32% or under, I got to come in and take massive action. So if you've got your 3 to 5 key performance indicators with your red, yellow, green, you can truly run a company. As long as you've got the systems and the culture, you can truly run a company just with that information. So you don't have to come in looking for everything all the time. You just know, well, of my key performance indicators, I had 3 green, 1 yellow, 1 red. I'm going to look a little at the yellow, and I might actually have to work this week to get the red handled, and then I can step back out and as long as those all 5 are in green. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. That's a good process.
Cool. All right. So that is a absolute brain dump of about 6 hours of information in 4.5 minutes. Any questions before you hit the lightning round, my friend?
No. That was great. Thank you very much.
Cool. Glad that was helpful. Hopefully Clean Nation got some good vibe from that. If you did, make sure you leave a comment on the blog. Let me know what you like and don't like. That said, let's hit the lightning round. Todd, I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Life will be grand. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
For me, it was when I started this business, my neighbor across the street was an entrepreneur, and he said, don't ever forget the reason why you went into business.
Beautiful.
Was that to help other people? Was that to grow your own business? Was that to do whatever? He said, don't ever lose focus on why you started your own business. And I think that's been great. It sticks with me to this day.
Fantastic. That's excellent, excellent feedback. Thanks for sharing that. Second question, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business so we as a community can kind of learn from each other's missteps?
How much time do we have? let's see. Biggest mistake I'd have to say would be allowing employees to run an account without having the proper training.
Perfect. Yeah, and that's funny because we actually talked about some of those things in today's episode. So that's fancy of you pulling that back in. You must have done this before. Okay, last question. What's one idea owners of cleaning companies can put in practice today before their head hits the pillow to improve their lives or their business?
You can't please everybody.
I got that right, my friend.
I think for the first few years of when I started West Coast Commercial Cleaning, I tried my hardest to please everybody, and I really wore my emotions on the sleeve when I would have a complaint or an issue or a concern. And that was really taxing on me. It was taxing on me. It was taxing on my family, my wife. And as I grew kind of and matured as a business owner, I realized I'm not going to please everybody. And there's always going to be that one person that has nothing better to do in their day than to complain about the way their front desk looks.
so sad and so true.
And as I've learned to just kind of smile, not necessarily apologize, but just say we'll take that into consideration and we appreciate the feedback. I can't say I've grown any of the hair back that I've lost as being a small business owner, but it's not turning as gray as it used to be.
Hey, you got to celebrate the small victories, my friends. That was such good feedback. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Todd's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.